Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. 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 I have an announcement I need to make. We found a little puppy and a little kitten that requires a home. So would you raise your hand if you would take them in? Oh, okay. Now what if I told you this little kitten and this little puppy, you don't have to take them out, you don't have to walk them, you don't have to clean out a litter bag for them or litter box. You don't have to do anything. And I know I'm striking a low blow with some people today, but you know, most of us would take in a puppy and or a kitten, yet we have three young men and women of God who need a home. You don't have to change them. You don't have to take them out, walk them. They can walk themselves. So please, please, please pray. I can't tell you how excited I am about what God is doing. And what's coming up in 2016. Praying in the new year. We saw massive changes last year when we committed January for prayer and fasting. How much more this year? We're starting with a bang. We got five people committing to serving us in this area. And then we have a conference. How many small churches do you know that are willing to put on a major conference that's going to be held at Tapeo by Holiday Inn for a weekend? And you're going to have people from all over the region, Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey coming. That's on a massive website. We are so blessed, and it's all because of God. Amen. And what he's doing with this body. So please keep praying for us. Keep praying for yourself and for the person next to you. You know, the kid's name and the little puppy's name are Hermes, all right, Jasmine, and Lexi. And Scott. Well, Scott's already has a place to live. So it's Hermes, Lexi, and Jasmine. That's what the three puppies and kittens' names are. So pray about that. Maybe you want to kick a kid out of their room and give them their room, or kick them out of the house. Great, too. That's all right. We can work on that. And it's only a three-month commitment, guys. That's it. You only have to commit for 3 months, not the year and a half. We can always revisit. So, but anyway, yes.
Pastor John just wanted to remind you that the poinsettia deadline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're aware of that. Thank you. All right. Today is the last message in this series of Am I Free? I kind of been holding off to this to last. We talked about being free from bondage. We talked about freedom to praise. And we talked about just being free, period, and the struggles we have. And today, we're going to talk about something that not all of us talk about. Free to receive. How many of us are givers? We love to give, we love to help out people, but how many of us are able to receive? And we're going to see why. PsychCentral.com gives five reasons why receiving is harder than giving. Number one, it's a defense against intimacy. So if I don't it's easier for me to give because I'm in control, but to receive, that means, oh, I'm letting you in, showing vulnerability. So it's a defense against intimacy. It's letting go of control. Number two, I want to be in control. It's harder for me to receive because I'm letting go of control. It's fear of strings attached. What do I owe you? It's, some believe it is selfish to receive. That's not true, is it? It's self-imposed pressure to reciprocate. People have a hard time receiving because now they feel they owe something. When you give, you give freely. You don't expect anything back. But people feel that within them. A relationship counselor said, and I'm going to quote this and I'll read it slow, it's about allowing you to be seen. You can only truly receive when you have the relationship with you and when you also allow you to be vulnerable enough that you're being your true self instead of living on pins and needles due to worry about how you will be perceived and worry about paying people back. You don't hide behind a role where you have to be the giver or the lead giver, and instead, because you have more of a balanced relationship. That's the issue with receiving. You're able to balance that out. Psychology says today says this. More often than not, how receptive we are to compliments is a reflection of our self-esteem and deep feelings of self-worth. Specifically, compliments can make people with low self-esteem feel uncomfortable because they contradict their own self-views. So if I'm feeling and thinking of myself as ugly and you're telling me I'm beautiful, there's a problem. It's not making sense. I'm struggling to accept that. And I feel uncomfortable and uneasy about it all. People actively seek to verify their own perceptions of themselves, whether those are positive or negative. So I want to affirm what I believe about myself. And more often than not, I surround myself with people who will affirm this. So, if I can't receive because I don't feel worthy to receive, and it's easier for me to give because I'm not letting you in, I'm in control, what I'm going to do is surround myself with things and people who don't give back, but I will just keep pouring out because I'm feeding my own insecurities and self-esteem issues. So I surround myself not with people who are equal with me, where we are freely to give and freely to receive, but with people who, quote, need me, where I can feed my own, lack of a better word, ego, by pouring in without having anyone pour back to me. That's not a balanced relationship. Receiving praise from others when you feel negatively about yourself elicits discomfort because it conflicts with our existing belief system. If we believe we are truly undesirable, hearing compliments about how attractive we are will feel jarring and inauthentic. Now, let me start by saying this, and we're going to get into it a little more later. God put the innate ability in us to give and to receive. What do I mean by that? We are created in the image of God, correct? We are formed by the hands of God, right? You look at Scripture. God gives, but doesn't he also seek to receive? He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Will you praise me? Will you worship the living God? Will you? Just talking about the eight different ways to praise God. We're giving to a God who's receiving from us. God not only ministers to us, but he wants us to minister to him. Remember the two roles of the priests in the Old Testament. You had the priests who were basically the doormen who ministered to the people, but then you had the type of priests who actually ministered to God. So to minister to God, that means God is receiving. Our prayers are like incense, that sweet offering to him. He's receiving it. So if God not only gives, but receives, and God is perfect, that's what we're striving to be able to do, to give and to receive. That's a healthy relationship. So when I receive, I'm allowing myself to be loved. And this is the problem so many have. And it's more of a problem for most women than men, but men have this same issue too. especially if they were never taught to love by a father who truly loves. What pure love is all about. So let's apply this to love. If we feel unlovable, therefore we want to be affirmed as unlovable. We're going to surround ourselves by things and people who make us feel them. And anything against that is we feel undeserving of it. So why do people respond negatively to love? I'm going to share with you one more secular source. This is from psychalive.org. Being loved arouses anxiety because it threatens long-standing psychological defenses. Your defense mechanism is up because I can't be loved. Love will hurt me. Love will, whatever the lies I believed about love. So I've got mental defense mechanisms. So it threatens them. It's like my walls are up and somebody's trying to smash my walls down. That's a struggle. Being loved arouses sadness and painful feelings from the past. Past hurts, past breakups, past expectations that were not met. And that's normal for many of us. Being loved provokes painful identity crisis, that conflict we're talking about. Being loved, accepting being loved in reality disconnects people from a fantasy bond that they might have. Because sometimes we have a fantasy image of what being loved is like. And if we actually allow ourselves to be loved or wait to be loved, it can let us down in our minds because it's not the same. Positive acknowledgement arouses guilt in relation to surpassing the parent of the same sex. In other words, as a guy, if I'm being acknowledged, it becomes a tension of, well, why the acknowledgement of my dad? Is it the same way? Why didn't I get that from him? Why didn't this happen? I start to struggle with that. Why do they think I'm this way, but this is what I got from my dad? And that's a struggle. And the sixth thing is accepting being loved stirs up painful existential issues, deep-rooted issues, whether they're real or just things that I've projected onto myself. It becomes a struggle. So there's a lot of issues, and I know there are circumstances that life brings us that gets us to these places where these become an issue, but that's why we have Jesus. That's why Jesus came. Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds, their wounds. The word bind is the word shabash or kabash, C-H-A-B-A-S-H. And it means to wrap firmly. I think it's up there. Yep. To wrap firmly, to tight, to seal, to protect, to gird. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago about what it means to gird up your loins, to get yourself ready. It covers you and gets yourself ready to receive. To govern, it's a healer, to saddle, to wrap up. So it binds it. He heals where there are cracks, where there are holes. He fills them in. He heals the brokenhearted. So first and foremost, it begins with getting face-to-face with the healer, with Jesus Christ. So I want to stop for a second. I want to pray right now real quick. I feel led to pray. Holy Spirit, come right now. We're asking you to minister to the heart right now. Right now, even thoughts and feelings are rising up in this room amongst us that are dealing, Lord God, with hurt because of love and the struggles of human relationships are getting in the way of our ability to be loved by you because of our wounds right now. So in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come. You are the healer of the brokenhearted and the binder of our wounds. So I cover each one of us in this room, Lord God, that we're just going to be reaching out to you every step of the way to be healed and be bound by your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in the spirit. See, he's doing this so that I can receive his love. See, here's the difference. Holy Spirit convicts me. What does that mean? Convicts me that I need Jesus in my life. It's a realization that Jesus died for my sins so that I can have a relationship with God. It's a recognition of that. So what do? I submit to that act of love. He did an act of love for me. But do I have an intimate, deep-rooted relationship with him yet? Not necessarily. I recognize what he's done. I've opened my heart to receive him as my Savior. Then the rest of my life begins the journey of going from glory to glory, of learning how to make him Lord of all my life, which include learning to be intimate with him. And that word intimacy means that I'm receiving his love. I'm allowing him to that place that I haven't allowed anyone else. I'll be the first to tell you, going through a divorce, 20 years ago, we had to break some strongholds, my wife and I, and within our first year of marriage, so I can truly love her with an open heart. Because there were issues I struggled with that if things start to go in a certain way, I'd close up. My heart becomes defensive. And it was not going to open up. And we had to break those strongholds. How? On our knees. And she helped me through it, and I thank God for her. So that there's freedom in that love. So it's not just about being loved by her. But remember, what goes on earth is meant to imitate what takes place in heaven. Allowing God to love me is going to allow me to be loved by others. Amen. It works both ways. God loves you and I, and he is near to the brokenhearted and saves those with a crushed spirit. It's his salvation. And then his hunger to be in relationship with us. He loves you and I. God has been trying to reach his love to his children from the beginning of time. He's been trying to pour out his love onto his children. His heart's desire is for us to receive his love. That's what he did. When he walked with Adam and Eve, he wasn't bitter, angry, spiteful to have to kick them out of the garden. His heart was broken that the children he breathed life into, his creation, hurt him, betrayed him, walked away from his love, chose to love something else apart from him, more than him. And his desire from that day forward was for us to love him with all our heart, to be able to open and receive his love that sin has separated us from. Hebrews 10:14 says this, "For by one offering he has perfected all time those who are sanctified." One offering, the offering of the cross, he perfected all of us in one shot who are going to be sanctified. See, the devil wants to rob us of our ability to love and to be loved. Those wounds don't come from Jesus. The devil wants to take your ability to be loved and to love and make it warped. Where you say, well, if I give, I'm loving. Really? If it's a defense mechanism, it's not pure. If I give so I don't have to receive, I'm not whole in my love. I am ministering to myself. I am protecting myself. I am doing things for me. So basically, I'm using you to feed me. And the devil wants to warp the things of God. He takes the purity of the things of God and twists them. God wants to restore that. He wants to rob you. If he robs me of my ability to love you, I'm going to have a hard time loving him fully and wholeheartedly. That's his scheme. Well, you can be a Christian, you can go to church, you can be involved in ministry, you can be doing all kinds of things and still not attain the intimacy that God has desired for you in your love for Him and His love for you. We can still do all that and still limit Him if we don't let Him heal our wounds and trust Him with our heart. He loves me. He wants nothing but the absolute, very, very, very best for me. He loves you. He wants nothing but the absolute, very, very, very best for you. That's why He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. My grace is sufficient for you because He loves you. The devil wants to rob that. He wants to rob our ability to give and receive because he knows we were not born that way. We were born with the capacity in the image of God to receive and to give. But he's trying to take that from us. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. See, God's saying, come to me. I want to give you something. He's asking us to ask him to be able to receive from him. Because he wants to pour out. And see, one of the things I've been learning lately and trying to wrap my mind around and my heart really around it is because I'd never had an affectionate, intimate relationship with my dad. My dad was a scholar. He's a great man, believe me. My dad is my hero. I will go to my grave believing that with all my heart. He's my hero. But I never had that intimate relationship with him. So I am working out right now being able to open and receive the love from God as a father to his son. Because I never had that frame of point to how to be loved intimately by a father. And to love a father intimately. Not scholarly, not intellectually, not just because I feed you, give you a place, I love you. But it's intimate. So I'm learning how to ask from my father because I never really asked from my earthly dad. Never knew how to do that. Never did that, really. So this is my personal journey right now. So this is pertinent to me as much as it is anyone here. Being able to receive because God wants to give and he's asking me to ask. God wants us to be able to receive, but the devil wants to deny us that. Thus, we're not able to attain the perfection that God has for us. So if I'm not able to fully open my heart up to God, I'm not able to be perfected in the image of God that he desires for me, as we read in Hebrews 10:14, which is for one by offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. He's perfected us. So why is it important to be able to receive love? If you needed more, I'm going to give you more. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John 4. We're going to read 7 through 17, and we're going to look at some key things. Got about four or five points I want to share with you about this. We're going to read it all together first, and then we'll discuss it. 1 John 4:7-17. He writes, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. For God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And I'm just going to read the last two more verses. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Remember, fear is a basis why we don't allow people to love us, why we don't allow love in, because we are being defensive and protective, and we're afraid of feeling uncomfortable about certain things. So, what I want to pull out, why it's important to be able to receive the love of God and to be loved, is number one, we're commanded to love one another. We saw that in verse 7, 11, and 12. We are commanded to love one another. What does that mean? It means we are commanded to give love and be the object of love, of being loved. See, we can't all be commanded to just give love and have no one to give to. I'm commanded to love you, but I'm also commanded to be loved by you. It's a mutual relationship. We are to love one another. Not me love you and you don't have to love me. It doesn't work that way. It's a relationship. Remember, our relationships on earth are meant to imitate relationships in heaven. So we are commanded to love, to give, but we're also commanded to receive love from one another. That's verse 7, 11, and 12. Second point, God is love. That's verse 8. What does that mean? His Spirit is in us. Therefore, if he is love, his Spirit in us, love is in us. Okay? So in reality, by receiving his Spirit, I am actually receiving his love. But what do I tend to do? Lord, I want this much from you, but not that. I want this part, but not that. To receive the fullness of God, I'm receiving the fullness of his Spirit. That means I'm receiving the fullness of love. Goes back to what I shared a few weeks ago. Being free to praise God in every possible way without this fear that we talked about, that was just written about, means I'm able to receive his love and love him in those ways without fear, without worry, without anything. It's all freedom. I am free to love and to be loved. And I'm not talking about the 70s love thing. I'm talking about the purity of God's love, the intimacy that's there. Love is able to give and receive. God is our example. And I'm going to read you, I want to show you this example. This is Psalm 150, and I'm going to read the whole thing to you because it's short. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with a loud cymbal. Praise him with a clashing cymbal. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. 12 times we're told to praise God. In other words, these are 12 expressions of love to God. That's what he wants from us. to receive that. So guess what he wants to pour back? If he receives, he gives. We receive, we give. Because we can't give love from an impure well. You're not going to give a thirsty child water that's defiled, that's full of bacteria from a dirty well, which is sometimes what we do when we love in our own strength and not with the intimacy of God, because it's all about us. I'm not really doing it because I love you. I'm doing it because I want to make myself feel good. But he's the living water that pours pure water of love within us. We receive it. Then when I do give love, I'm giving pure love. I'm giving because I love him and he loves me, and I receive that. And I know the difference. Third point here is, it is God's desire for us to receive love. Verses 10 and 11, you saw that in salvation. Accept my son. I sent my son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I gave my son, and before you even loved me, before you even loved me, I sent him into this world that we might live through him. But he who loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins, he sent him to be received. So he wants it, us, his desire for us to love. Relationships are based on the truth of God's love. Healthy relationship is based on the truth of God's love. In other words, if I am in a healthy, God-centered, spirit-filled relationship with you, I'm going to be able to express myself freely without feeling attacked. 99% of the time, if I'm arguing with my wife and I feel like she's attacking me, the problem isn't hers. I've come to realize this because I used to blame her a lot. And sometimes I make that mistake sometimes, still, in the emotion of the moment. But the problem is me, not her. It's me twisting my thinking, feeling like she's attacking me rather than she's admonishing me or discussing something with me or sharing something in love. It's my insecurities jumping out, being defensive, so not to receive the purity of her love. So it's me, 99% of the time. I'll give her 1%, but it's me. So keep that in mind. God is pure, and healthy relationships are based on the purity of God's love. I know she loves the Lord with all her heart more than me, and thank God for that. Therefore, how she comes back at me is going to be based on her relationship with God and our relationship with God. That's the purity of that love. Fourth point is, love is meant to be shared. I want to look at verse 9, 12, and 17, or through 17. I want to read you 12 through 17 again. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. We know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us the Spirit. It's all about abiding. He's in us, we're in him, we're together within him. It's meant to be shared. Sharing love perfects love. And for whoever confesses that Jesus is Son of God, God abides in him and he in God, and we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, for God is love, and he abides in love, abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. So love is meant to be shared, and the first part is sharing love perfects love. Sharing love perfects it. The Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. It's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. Because I don't have all the answers. No one else in this room has all the answers. But the two of us together, we seek the answer in the things of God. That's what how awesome HD Bible study is. We come together to seek the answers from God's heart. We seek together to know the love of Father as written in his word and as revealed in his Spirit as we come together. Remember, the Bible talks about you know, one can take down 1,000, but two can take down 10,000. That's a principle. That's a biblical principle. Therefore, God does not change. His principles don't change. Love is perfected when we're able to receive and to give. It's when we come together. It's meant to be shared, to be perfected. And because why? It makes us whole in Christ as individuals. It also makes us whole in Christ as a community. We are meant to be a community of believers. There's not a single one of us is meant to be a hermit Christian. Amen. You're not meant to be alone. You and God are two right there. But the family needs to grow. It's meant to grow. So you are whole in Christ as love is being perfect. Sharing love perfects love. We are whole as a community coming together. I mean, just think about worship, how powerful it is when you have 50 or more people in this room as today worshiping the Lord. Receiving. See, that's part of it. I bless the Lord. I worship Him. He's enthroned on my praises. But then He's pouring Himself onto us, which frees us to do even more. How beautiful was that? That's what it's all about. It's a community coming together, strengthening one another. And we're perfected in building the body with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and His fruit when we share His love, right? One of elements of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Greatest of these is love. Love is the reason we move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Love for God and love for one another. If I'm going to sit here and be prophetic towards you but don't have love, watch out. That's not from God. If I'm going to do something in, quote, the power of the Holy Spirit, and love is not the foundation, that's not from God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, all those are meant to be what covers what we do in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's love for God and love for one another. So it perfects the building of the body. And then the second thing about love is meant to be shared is that sharing love overcomes. Sharing love. And this is verse 18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because why? Fear involves torment. Why are you allowing yourself to be tormented alone? Why am I sitting in a room allowing myself to suffer when I've got people who are filled with God's love, who want to love me? I've got a God who loved me literally to death and rose again for me. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So sharing love helps us to overcome. By receiving, I overcome the barrier or stronghold that kept me from receiving. By receiving, I share with others my strength. By receiving, I share with others their strengths. By receiving, I am able to do more and able to overcome more. There are things I can't do on my own. Hey, pray for me. Surround me with the love of God and your love. Let me receive. It's pride that keeps us from asking and receiving. It's pride, and that's a lie from the devil himself. Saying, oh, you're strong enough, you don't. No, I'm not strong enough. I need you. I need my wife. I need people around me to cover me and to love me and to pray for me. And I'll be the first to tell you, one of the masks I put on because I couldn't receive love is I was a doer. I would rather do things to show that I'm, quote, loving people, setting up chairs, doing this, doing that, instead of relationship with people instead of encountering people. Well, I'm doing it because I love them and I'm ministering to them. That's the Christianese way of twisting things. Because there's a line that you can easily cross and try to justify if your heart's not right. If my heart's not right. If I'm always pouring in but not allowing people to pour out into me, that's not the love that God is talking about. Sharing love helps us to overcome. Because you know what? I might be expressing my love because I'm putting up all these chairs for people. But you know what? It might take me half hour to do that. But if I allow people to love me and get two or three other people alongside of me, we can get it done in 5 minutes. Sharing love helps me to overcome. Now, I know there are people here who are hurting and who've got wounded hearts from different things that have happened in their lives. My prayer right now is that the Holy Spirit has been ministering to you all along and that you are being healed. And some of you, I pray, have already been healed and been touched by the presence of God. We believe that Jesus died for our sins, for our shame, for our guilt, for all those things that makes us feel unworthy to receive His love and unworthy to be loved. We've been let down by so many people that we feel unworthy to be loved or unlovable. We've been hurt by so many people we've opened up our hearts to that we feel like I can't trust anybody to enter my heart. Every time I do, they stab me in it. Well, you've got a God who loves you, who loves us, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He suffered for the stuff that happens on the outside and the stuff that happens on the inside. To heal us, He is our healer, and He wants to perfect us, just like the Hebrews passage we read. I'm going to challenge you today to open up your heart and let the healing begin if it hasn't begun. And if it has begun, then let it be completed. I want you to stand with me right now. And I want, in a little bit, I'm going to ask